Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open up to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. I'm going to recommend, not because he's sitting here, but just because it's a good book. 17 years ago at Winter Bible Seminar, Pastor Hagen preached on the greater glory during the morning sessions, five sessions on the greater glory that was coming. I believe we're in those times now. And so it behooves us. We want to look tonight a little bit concerning the subject of glory. We've been talking about it in one of the classes I'm teaching right now at the training college in Bible Doctrines 2, and talking about what is man. That's what I want to read tonight. And talking about the glory of God in relationship to some things that I want us to see here. And I think will help us all. You know, let me read this and then we'll get back to it, okay? Psalm 8, verse 4 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" I'm reading from the King James, but I'm going to un-King James. "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, has put all things under his feet," that man that he made. Now in Genesis, we don't have time to go back there tonight, but in Genesis, we see that man, he made man, male and female, made he them. So when he's talking about man here, he's talking about mankind. He's not talking about gender here at all. But notice here also something else I want to point out in verse 5, that it's interesting, and I don't know why it's translated this way, but the word translated angels here is actually the Hebrew word Elohim, which is the plural ancient Hebrew word for God, or for God. E-L is God, but Elohim. All right, Genesis 1:26, "And God said," Elohim said, "let us make man in our image." Well, we're made in the image of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We're not made in the image of angels. Now, why it says that there, that's, we understand that there's, in some ways, we're not made like the angels, but we are a greater creation than the angels in that we are in the image of God. And we are crowned, now notice this, crowned with glory and honor. One translation says, we are crowned with dignity and worth. Dignity and worth. And I think if there's one thing that is at work in this world, in the world system, is to strip people of their dignity and worth, and therefore strip them of their image of God that they're made in, of the glory and honor that God has bestowed upon his creation. Not just, you know, we've heard this that, God created man for his glory. And in thinking about that, I think, you know, sometimes when you say that, and that's a true statement, but what does that mean? Does that mean that God is sitting in heaven and just didn't have enough glory, so he had to create us so we would bring God glory? Is he that, you know, in one sense, is he that weak, you know? Is he that insecure that he has to have us to bring him glory? No, he's not talking about that way. We're created for the glory of God in this sense, I think, in the major sense, is that we are to be containers of and showing forth of that glory. We are to be receptacles of that glory. That's God's original. He crowned them. He crowned man with glory and honor. Everywhere man went, he's got that glory. He's got that honor from God. Why? Made in the image of God. That glory being that presence of God, that there's so many, you know. Now you can, if I say, well, I'm glorifying you, God, I understand I'm giving you worship, I'm giving you praise. But we're talking about the glory in the sense here that it is the very presence of God, the very essence of God. Mankind was crowned with that glory and honor. Of course, we know what happened when man sinned. We lost that. That's in that sense that man became separated from God and became separated from that glory. But throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of the glory of God in manifestation. The pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, the glory of God was there. The glory showed up when the temple was dedicated. They couldn't even stand. Everyone there, they just, like someone said, they ate pavement. They just went down. They couldn't stand in that presence, that glory of God. Jesus came in that glory. He set it aside, his heavenly glory, but yet his glory was, because he was manifesting the glory of God, was present at all times. And we beheld his glory, but people didn't recognize it. All right? Well, look what and this is part of what Pastor based his, and get the book. He's got a great book out there. Haggai chapter 2. Talking about that natural temple, but yet talking about in the new covenant, the spiritual temple that is to be. And they said, well, where is Haggai? Well, it's the third book from the end of the Old Testament. That helps you at all. All right? So right before it's Zephaniah. And I think it's Habakkuk, but you never know. When we get to heaven, that's one of the things I want to find out, some of these names. You know, you don't want to call somebody by the wrong name. But so Haggai right here, chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with my glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. There's that promise of a greater glory in the latter house. Well, he's talking about these last days, partially. The last days that Paul said, that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that this is what was spoken by Joel in the last days. If that was the last days, how many of you know it's more the last days now than it was then? But that glory, that presence of God in the temple. Well, you know, we sang about it and all that, but it's in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6. Not only do we bring God glory, but we are to be the container and the avenue through which the glory of God manifests in this earth. The church, corporately, that's all of us together, plus us, each individual member, should be an outlet of that glory and should be a witness of God's glory and his presence and his power to the rest of the world, the lost and dying world. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Say this, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in me. The Holy Ghost is in us. God, the Holy Ghost. He's in us. And because of that, it says we are the temple. Well, in the Old Testament, the glory of God would dwell above the mercy seat there. And it was the only place that God's presence would be. But in the New Covenant, it's still in the temple, but it's not a temple made with hands. It's in us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. See, what are we? What is man that God is mindful of us? What is this man who's crowned with glory and honor? Who's crowned with dignity and worth? See, you can understand, you know the devil hates God, right? And so he hates you because you're made in his image. Not so much, you mean he looks like me? I'm not so much talking about what he looks like. But we're talking about the image of God, that we can have that glory in us that's on God and be a container of that glory. Now here he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So here he calls the believer righteousness and the unbeliever unrighteousness. What communion has light with darkness? The believer's light, the unbeliever's darkness. What concord has Christ with Belial? Here the believer is in Christ, the unbeliever in Belial. What part has he that believes with an infidel? Now look at verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here again, that presence, the Holy Ghost is in us. Well, I thought you were talking about the glory of God. I am. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, first of all. Romans chapter 8. Here's a familiar scripture. I think this is a great healing scripture. How many of you still have a mortal body? Any of your body talk to you today? We were talking about it in the back room. Some of us, after lunch today, our body talked to us. It said, I'm sleeping. And it did. Amen? Here in verse 11, Romans 8, 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. And I know he could be talking about here, part of it's the resurrected body we're going to have, but we're also, the spirit of God makes alive this body now. The life of God's in me now. It's in you now, right? Now, he said, if him that raised up the spirit of him. So here it tells us, you know, that it was the spirit of God that was involved in raising up Jesus from the dead. Raised him up, and he dwells in us, thank God. And we've talked about we're the temple of the living God. Look at Romans chapter 6. Here's an interesting statement made in Romans chapter 6. Now, I'm not saying, listen, don't, let's read this and I'll make a statement. Then I'll say this. Don't go in the ditch on something here, okay? Look at Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism or complete immersion into his death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now here in Romans 8 he said he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. Here it says he was raised from the dead by the glory of God. Well, which was it? Yes. Both. Same, being the same here. The presence of God, the very essence of God, that same presence that dwells in us by the Spirit of God, that same presence. When the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, it raised us up and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, my caution is, every time you see a reference to the Spirit of God, don't necessarily say glory. We're not changing the Holy Spirit's name to glory. All right, some people, you know, want to take things and get over in a ditch, and then everything, every time you say Holy Spirit, it's glory. Well, the glory of God is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, yes. But there's so much more to the Holy Spirit than just what we're talking about here. So please stay on the road. Any of you tried to drive off-road without an off-road vehicle? Get stuck in the ditch? Be honest, how many of you had to be towed out of a ditch before you had to have a tow truck come get you? Let me see your hands. All right, we got a few people in here, like me. Amen. So don't get in the ditch on this. But what I am saying is this, that hope by the mighty Holy Ghost, we've got this glory in us. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1. See, this was a mystery. I'm telling you, if the devil and his bunch would have known that glory that he saw on that man in the garden, that glory that he saw on Eve, Adam and Eve in the garden when he tempted them, that glory that he saw that was done away with once sin came in, if he knew, and that glory that he saw in Jesus, and that glory that went through the pits of hell and raised Jesus up from the dead, if he knew that glory, that God's plan was to put that in man. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen? Look what it says here in Colossians chapter 1. So it was a mystery. I love this. He says, verse 25, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So this was something that was hidden for our time, for the day we live in, from the day that Jesus ascended into heaven till now. This is our time. This was a mystery. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We're in him. and he's in us. And that part, that in us is glorious. We are containers of the glory of God. That glory. Now that glory, part of that glory gives you a place of dignity and worth. Amen. You know, a lot of folks suffer from a low self-image and low self-worth because, be quite honest with you, they don't know who they are. A lot of Christians dealing with thoughts of, you know, even come, you know, some that they take their life, they do this because they don't know who they are. They don't know, first of all, how valuable they are. I think of it this way. Really, just in the world system, something is only as valuable as what someone else is willing to pay for it. You might think it's very valuable, but to you it's valuable. But to someone, you know, if no one's going to, you know, if they're only going to give you a nickel for it, the value of that is a nickel. Okay? Now, so what was used to buy your redemption? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the most valuable substance has ever existed on this earth? The spotless, sinless blood of the Lamb of God that was shed for our redemption and for the forgiveness of our sin. And it was shed for you. How much does God value you? And how much does God still value the sinner out there that doesn't know him? That same blood was shed for them. What is the value? What is this man, God, that you are mindful of him? What is this man that you would send your son? What is this man that God the Son would lay down his glory in heaven, lay it down and come to the earth? Do you remember in John 17, Jesus said, Father, I fulfilled your plan, except he hadn't gone to the cross yet and that. But he said, give me the glory. He's talking about when this is done, I want the glory back that I had with you from the beginning. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe, fully believe, that we are in the days of a greater manifestation of the glory of God. Not just corporately, but we need that, but also individually. Where we are walking. Walking containers. We have been, but we haven't known it. But we're walking containers of the very glory of God, that presence of God. And we are not just, and we're living in such a way that that glory is able to manifest and be. And if one thing, that one way to think of it is to be in manifestation so that it affects others around us. I've read, you know, in times past about people would be, you know, riding a bus in a city and people would just fall down and start repenting before God because the glory of the Lord was there. Amen. You see, now this glory doesn't make us anybody. It makes God great. Hallelujah. It does bring that to God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks here about, the Word of God talks about when Moses was on the mountain. And he saw the glory of God. He came down after with the Ten Commandments, and his face was so shining that the people said, look, and it was because of the glory of God, they said, we can't look on you. Put a veil over your face. Now, here he calls that the ministry of death because it was of the law. He says here in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Shouldn't we have the same attitude? It's not me. It's not anything I've done. It's my sufficiency is of God. It has to be. All right. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, I always like to point this out. There was nothing wrong with the law. The law was holy. It was mankind who could not fulfill the law. All right? So that brought death because we could not fulfill it. He says, but if the ministry of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. What's he saying? If that was glorious, That led to death. If that was glory, then the glory we have because of righteousness, it makes that glory not even really be glory. This is an exceeding glory. All right? This ministry of the Spirit. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by the reason of the glory that excels. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, see, confident expectation, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains a veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ, glory to God. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word, the word of God, the precious word of God, is that glass that we look into. And we, when we look into that glass of the word of God, that mirror, we see glory. And the longer, if we'll keep looking at it and we'll keep acting like and we'll keep working on ourselves, we'll eventually become what we see in that mirror. Glory. It's glorious. Well, he doesn't stop there. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we've received mercy, we faint not. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, I love that, of the truth, commending ourselves into every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's interesting, you know, that we talk about, and I guess there's now, I don't even know what they call it. What do they call this generation after the millennials? There's one after them now. Whatever they are, they've about run out of letters. You know, we had X, Y, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I know this about one of the things I've heard from millennials. They don't want to hear about it. They want to see it. Tell me about it, but I want to see the manifestation of it. Well, he said, I believe we're in this greater glory. We're going to have greater manifestations. Amen. But we're not going to have them unless we expect them. And we do it and we act according to God's word. Amen. Amen. These manifestations. But if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now notice this. And whom the God of this world, the little g, talking about the devil here, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. Now I want you to notice this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now you ready? But we have this treasure, this glory of the light of the God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, this glory of God, this Spirit, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Right now where you're sitting, you have this treasure in you. You're a child of God, you've got this treasure in you. That the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. See, it's not about me. It's about that glory. But look what happens. Now listen, this is why this is so important. Excuse me. Because I don't think in these last days it's going to get any easier. Now, he to live for God. But, I mean, the world's not backing off, folks. 2020's proven anything to the world. It's that they can intimidate the church. But we're going to need to stand up, folks. It's one thing I love about around here. No, you don't intimidate us. Why? Because we cannot defeat it and we will not quit. That's more than just our pastor's motto and saying, live by. That's what this ministry is. That's why God raised up this ministry so it's gone around the world. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Rhema is strategically positioned around the world right now with Bible schools and graduates waiting for this last day manifestation of this glory that goes in, it's already going into effect. We are strategically placed. When you start looking at where our schools are and where our graduates are, and you realize it's on, folks. It's on. It's on. It's on. That's why we don't talk about some of the things because we're not tipping the hand that God's given us. But it's on, I'm telling you. We are strategically placed. Hallelujah. He says then, notice this, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why? Because of that glory. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See, when you know about that glory and you know that the presence of God, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, when all those things come at you from the outside, something rises up on the inside. Hallelujah. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Woo, glory to God. When death comes my way, when some plague comes, tries to come near me, that life is in me. Hallelujah. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. See, what are we saying? We're saying, look, troubled, persecuted, but not cast down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when it comes, what are we saying when it comes? What are we saying when it comes? Are we speaking what that mirror tells us? Are we calling ourselves what that mirror shows us we are? Are we calling ourselves what it tells us? Are we speaking that for? Amen. He goes on to say here, see, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man's renewed day by day, day by day, day by day. It's working on the inside. I got something on the inside working on the outside. Hallelujah. For our light affliction, I love this. Paul calls things, you know, faith people, I mean, shipwreck, stoned. I don't mean he shot up something in his veins. I mean, they threw rocks at him to kill him. Stoned. He didn't smoke something. They stoned him. Everywhere, read that whole list in 2 Corinthians, was it chapter 11? I mean, all those things that happened. Plus, every day, the care of the church is coming on him. He calls that these light afflictions. These light afflictions. Amen. These light afflictions, which but for a moment work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Now, two more verses. Look in Isaiah 60. Glory to God. Isaiah 60. That glory. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said by the Spirit of the Lord. This is our day. This is the time that we're living in. This is the time. I can't believe it's been 17 years since Pastor preached that. But that this is the time. We got all excited about that. And then I don't know how many years after that, Pastor, when you had that vision of that veil, that glorious veil that is getting thinner and thinner, but that's standing between time here and time there, it's there. We're right there in the glory of God. Amen. And for some of you, know, some of us might go home to be with the Lord earlier. And if we tarry and stay sustained, we're just going to step over into that glory. But it's real, folks. And that glory's in us. Hallelujah. That's why that glory being in us is why we can make it in heaven. We're going to, you know, we're like, oh, that's the same. I didn't realize that's the same glory here that's in me. Was in me all this time. But look here in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord. I love that little word B-U-T in the Bible. I love it in Ephesians, but God. But here it says, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. When? When it's the darkest out there. When it's dark in the world, when everything in the world's going crazy, excuse me, that's the time that our light's going to shine brighter. And the Gentiles, really, it's the word for nations. Now look, what's going to happen when we shine, when we are not only just receptacles and containers of that glory, but we're letting that glory out? The nations shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then shall you see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces of the nations shall come unto you. What's that talking about? Great harvest. Great harvest. Great harvest. Glory to God. People coming to the Lord. One last place in Ephesians chapter 5, please. So he said, that's what's going to be, that glory. That glory. I mean, I was just kind of minding my own business, and this I always go to this place in class and was teaching on this, and I right in the middle of the of my lesson that day, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but I didn't know what's, all of a sudden the Lord said, he said, get that book and read it again. I was like, okay, Lord, you could have told me. He said, no, I mean, get it and read it. Don't delay. I almost wanted to walk out of class and go get the book. I mean, it was that strong. It's like, oh. So I've been reading him. I've been reading it. I'm telling you what, I think it's this. Let's hook in. Let's get charged. Glory, it's charging me. It's charging me a little bit. I've been trying not to say much about it. I haven't really even mentioned it to man, but I'm telling you, I'm getting charged here. Now, here he talks about this in Ephesians 5. He says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Well, the way we do that is walk in the glory. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Now, I've heard pastors talk about, I have actually been in this auditorium when all the lights are. It's dark, folks. It's dark 30 in here. I mean, it's dark, dark in here. I've been here a lot, but I won't walk in here without, I've got to find my phone. It's that dark. I'm not coming in here. And I know where things are. It's just that dark. I'm not scared of anything. It's just, I'm going to run into something. All right? But you know, all you need is a little light. If you just had a, you know, we're going to light the candles on Carol's Candlelight Communion. And that light dispels darkness. And it makes manifest what's trying to hide. We ought to be walking in that glory, that every trick of the devil, every trick of the enemy that he's laid against us, when the light of the glory of God just shines on it, and we're just able to just say, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. Just go right through him if we want to. Hallelujah. But look what he says here. So that light, verse 14. Wherefore, he says, awake, you that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Christ shall give you light. It is God's plan that what man lost in the garden is restored to us in Christ. And one day it will all be restored. But that glory that we're crowned with, we are to arise. We're to shine, let the glory of the, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, because first of all, it's in us. And the glory of this latter house, this latter temple, is greater. It's greater than any glory that ever resided over that whole earthly holy of holies, because this is God in us. And it's greater. It's greater. It's greater. Amen? That's what I was so thrilled. My God is big enough. My God is strong enough, and he's in me. He's in you. It doesn't matter what you're going to face. It doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow. Your God and the glory of God in you is big enough. It's strong enough. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the glory. Oh, we bless you and honor you, Father, for the glory of God. We thank you for it, your manifest presence. And Father, we do thank you. Hallelujah. We declare that greater glory that you spoke about in times past, even from this pulpit, that greater glory is coming. It is closer and it's here. Yes, it's here. It's not coming. It's here now. Let us teach us and guide us how to walk, and let us review those principles, and let us go forth and walk in that glory individually, but also corporately, Father God. Let us be not only the receptacles and the houses of that glory, but let us be those whom the glory works through and helps others and causes the Gentiles and the nations to come to that light. Let us so shine in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. Let us be a light that shines. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let that light be a lighthouse of safety and direction to this world. Hallelujah. Until Jesus comes. We give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that glory on the inside of you, but you can. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, but you want to tonight, I want to pray with you. If you're here tonight, maybe you've walked out of fellowship with God. You know you're not living for God, but you want to just come back to the Father's house and get that taken care of. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He hasn't forsaken you. But you want to get that right with God, I want to pray for you tonight. There might be somebody here also that you're a Christian, but you've never received what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God coming upon you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, like it talks about in the Bible, in the book of Acts, not our church creed and doctrine, but what the Bible says. And they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you're here tonight and you want to receive that heavenly gift and blessing, I want to pray for you. So in order to pray for you, I need to see your hand. Could you raise your hand if you want me to pray for you? I'm going to look all across the auditorium. Ushers are helping me. You may be, everybody here tonight is in good condition that way. Don't see any hands. That's all right. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody mentioned, did y'all see the pews upstairs? Anybody see all those? Glory. How are they up there? Who is that? Is that Rich up there? How are they doing up there? Nice? They're nice. Okay, good. My dream is to sit up there one day. I always ask, I think we need a pastor in the balcony. I just know what I thought. They're not letting me, though. There's a couple other things we beg about all the time. We're not getting either. So that's all right. Hallelujah. It's a joke. I'm sorry. Ask Greg about it. He'll tell you all about it. Amen. Well, all right. Thursday night. Be here. Now, listen, service starts at 6, so be here before that as much as you can. And then, of course, we've got these great, if you want to take your pictures, these two selfie places will be open. Get great pictures. God bless you. Have a great night.